What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we'll be doing a deep dive into sugar. Sugar is basically in everything. Why is that? And more importantly, what is it doing to our brains and bodies? You're going to want to take some notes on this podcast because we're going to cover a lot. I'm very excited to have a nutritionist, Laura Catalino, on the podcast today. So let's introduce Laura. Laura Catalino grew up in Webster, New York. She is a graduate of RIT's Nutrition Science program and specializes in integrative and functional nutrition. She was certified through the Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy, which focuses on treating individuals with a whole systems and food as medicine approach. She has worked several years in the community, helping others learn and implement nutrition strategies, and started her private practice in 2018, where she works with individuals one-on-one and counsels them through a personalized program. One thing she feels passionate about in her practice is helping others close the gap between knowing and doing. This is something she finds most people struggle with. She doesn't consider her work a job, but more of a calling or mission. She loves to geek out on the latest nutrition research, so do I, her morning coffee, always black, and her days usually consist of a morning workout, some reading, journaling, and then working on her business and or supporting her clients. When she's not working or reading, you can find her relaxing and spending quality time with family, friends, and loved ones. With that, I'd like to welcome Laura on the podcast. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about today.
I know. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here virtually.
Absolutely. It's my first time doing it on a Zoom call here, so this is cool. This will be fun. I got the new microphone, the new headphones. What kind of the new headphones? I had a technical difficulty with that, but this will be fun. Let's talk sugar. Let's talk carbohydrates. Let's talk nutrition.
I'm down for it.
So tell us how you got into the health and wellness space.
You know, I've always just been interested in this since I've been a little girl. I played sports, but honestly, my mom did a lot of dieting when I was younger. And, I grew up in a big Italian family, and I think that all of us had kind of this struggle with our weight and our health. So I think that's what spurred it a little bit, but then it just kind of evolved. Like I grew to love the science behind it. And then when I was in college, I had like an event with my digestive system that really took me down. And so then it kind of like intensified my desire to get healthy. And then when I figured out I could make it my career, it just all made sense to me. So
what does nutrition mean to you, Laura?
That's a really great question. I think nutrition to me is eating in a way that allows you to live your life the way that you should, you know, like it's eating food that doesn't prevent you from living your life to the fullest. You know, I think a lot of people who are experiencing poor health are just not able to move through life freely. And I feel like, honestly, a lot of people are prisoners to their bodies. And so nutrition to me is just eating foods that improve the quality of your life, that nourish your body and your mind, and that just, you know, allows you to be yourself to the fullest.
So we met a few months ago, and I could tell from that first meeting how passionate you are about this, how genuine you are. And then I've sent a few patients to you recently, and they've been so pleased. So I just want to thank you for that, for your services and what you're doing in the community.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. I feel so strongly about it, especially this topic of sugar.
Yeah, right. Especially. So let's dive into sugar next. What exactly are carbohydrates?
So carbohydrates are one of the three macronutrients. And it's really interesting. It's actually shocking how many people don't understand this. But so there's basically three macronutrients in which we gain calories from. And those are protein, fats, and carbohydrates. So you have like the macronutrients, and then you have micronutrients, which are the vitamins, the minerals, the things that we need in lesser amounts, but still very important. But carbohydrates specifically are just one of the three ways that I guess we obtain calories or energy.
I feel like in our society, they're demonized. They're evil. So are they good for us or are they bad for us?
Oh, so, you know, I really try and stay away from the good, bad food language. However, when it comes to carbs, I truly feel that there are some, there are clearly some very beneficial carbs that we can be eating. And there are clearly some very damaging, toxic, addictive carbs that we can be eating. And so when I'm asked that question, I suppose I could say that these carbs that are not the best for us, they won't kill you if you eat them one time. But if you eat them every day for, you know, 40, 50 years, yeah, they will kill you. So I think there's some carbs that are good and there's some carbs that are definitely bad if abused, for sure.
That's a tough question. I mean, because we're diving emotionally, psychologically, you know, it's just, that's a great answer though, as a big picture. And I think it depends on what you do too. It depends on your lifestyle. It depends on a lot of things, your genetics. Some people can tolerate carbs more than others, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, now the way that nutrition and genetics, the way that that is kind of evolving, it does show that some individuals are, you know, more prone to develop certain kinds of diseases, are better able to process carbs or handle carbs, or, you know, the way that our genes interact with our environment, like that is different for every individual. But even with that said, I feel that, you know, that doesn't mean that some people are going to benefit from eating a Twinkie and some people won't benefit from eating a Twinkie, you know. Right. It's like, it's, you know, you can almost relate it to something like wine, but you can't even compare a Twinkie to wine because, like, for example, wine has benefits in the right amounts, right? Mm-hmm. But when you abuse wine, it's clearly not good for you. Something like a processed sugar product, like a Twinkie, which has 20 ingredients, which aren't even, there's not even one food in that ingredient, maybe one. There's actually no benefit at all to eating something like a Twinkie. So, yeah, I think, you know, it doesn't, people don't want to classify it that way. And I really do try to frame that so that people can develop a healthy, you know, relationship with food. And that's a whole nother category, but I think it's, important to recognize these foods for what they really are. You know, they're kind of dangerous in my opinion.
That reminds me of the Dorito effect. I think you posted on that recently. So let's put that on the back burner. I definitely want to ask you about that though, because that's some fascinating stuff. That's crazy.
I know. It's great.
So are carbs the same thing as sugar?
This is another great question. So yes, but not, so carbs are the bigger category. Not all carbs are sugar, but all sugar are carbs, if that makes sense. So if you can imagine like carbohydrates being the umbrella, and then under carbs, you have basically they can be split up into sugars, fibers, or starches. So it's the same kind of thing. Not all carbs are sugar, but all sugar are carbs, if that makes sense.
It does, for sure. Yeah, this just reminds me of my, I'm thinking of my daughter right now. I just fed her breakfast and she's a phenomenal eater and we're proud of that. But, and that takes work. That's definitely hard work having your toddler eat healthy. But if we just think, like sometimes I eat more keto and lower carbs, that's not going to work for her. She needs a balanced meal. If she doesn't have carbohydrates, she's not going to be satiated. She's going to be starving 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
And those are, again, a macronutrient. Like you said, it's basic building blocks for the brain, for muscles. It's important.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's, I don't believe in anything like carbohydrates are also some of the most important things that we can be eating. Mm-hmm. For example, the most important things that I think we could be eating are actually carbs, because those are plant foods like vegetables. Those are the things that are packing the most nutrients. So I don't think that they should be neglected at all, but there are, you know, like we spoke about, some better and some less good options.
Why is there so much added sugar in our foods today?
It's cheap. It sells, you know, like they say, sex sells, well, sugar sells, you know, sugar sells. And, it lowers the cost of foods. So things that like high fructose corn syrup, super cheap. That's why it's in everything. It's super cheap. And it just keeps people buying. I mean, like we spoke about, it's addictive. It tastes good. It never used to be that way though. Like sugar used to be almost a luxury item. Like in the 1700s, it was only for the people who were rich. Now it's in everything. And I just think that, I do think it's in everything because of money, you know?
I didn't mean to get political on you. Yeah. It's a political thing.
It is. You know, you can't avoid it. You cannot talk nutrition without talking politics.
Sugar is sexy and it sells.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is sugar addiction, first of all, and why is it so prevalent?
Sugar addiction. So yes, sugar is biologically addictive. This has been studied through and through. Sugar is addictive like you are, like, you know, cocaine. Sugar is the same thing that happens to your brain when you get a text message and you have the dopamine response, and the same way you feel about your phone, that is also the same response that you get when you eat sugar. So that's sugar addiction. And I think that what a lot of people are experiencing now, which is they feel like this severe loss of control, or they feel like they are, you know, emotional eaters or whatever it may be. But there's a biological part of that, which is, you know, you're not just weak. This is a drug. So, it's a drug in a way that it changes the chemistry inside your body. So the more you eat it, the more you crave it, and the more you need to kind of get that high off of sugar. I think it's, what was the second question? Why is it so prevalent? Mm-hmm. I think it's so prevalent because I don't know if the government or, you know, people just didn't think that we would get addicted to it that way. I mean, this is all pretty recent if you think about it. The way the food industry has changed over the last 50, 70 years. So I think they just didn't know. You know, I just don't think they understood the long-term effects of what it would be like to put sugar in every single food product and then distribute it massively to people. And it's, you know, it tastes good. Food is an integral part of our lives. So it's part of everything.
All right, let's geek out a little bit. Let's talk some biochemistry.
Okay.
Listeners, do not run away. Okay, we're going to water it down for you. But what does increased sugar do to the body? So take me through, you eat some carbohydrates. What's going on in your body?
Yeah. Okay. So you eat carbohydrates, and when you eat a processed food with added sugar and, you know, this unhealthy sugar, it's completely foreign to your body. Your body is not designed to digest and absorb this food. And so the response that it has is, over time, it's, you know, your blood sugar is skyrocketed. Your body, your insulin is skyrocketed. And what actually ends up happening is your you experience inflammation. So your immune system is fired up. It starts to damage the tissues and the cells in your body. Eating too much sugar is one of the major culprits of, you know, obviously diabetes, heart disease, cancer, fatty liver. It literally sucks the life out of you. It changes the way you crave foods. Eating sugar also affects your brain. And it can lead to depression, mood swings. Eating too much sugar also affects your gut microbiome, because sugar feeds bad bacteria in the gut. So what ends up happening is you have this abundance of bad bacteria in your gut, and the healthy bacteria can't thrive. Your intestinal lining, the consequences of this are severe biologically.
So what are a few actionable takeaways for listeners dealing with a sugar addiction?
I would say figure out how many days you can actually go without sugar, all forms of processed added sugar. And I would focus on building that number up. They say it takes about 10 days to actually truly detox from sugar. So I would say, one, figure out how many days you can go without sugar and then work on building that. Two, don't just focus on what you're taking out. Also focus on what you're putting in that's going to combat reversing the addiction. So things like proteins, healthy fats, vegetables. And then three, like, you got to find some support, because this is going to be hard, and you're going to need a friend or something to help you get through it.
Is this a lifelong addiction?
I don't think so. You know, I think that you can significantly reduce the hold that sugar has on you if you take the right steps. But I think, just like anything else, it would be, I think, unrealistic to say that most people aren't going to be tempted to have, you know, another donut after they have one donut just because of the sugar and the food's not going away. But I definitely think that you can make huge steps towards reversing it, and not claim yourself as an addict anymore. I think that it's still going to be a struggle, just because I think it is for most people.
Sugar's a drug, but I would think that it's different than like alcoholism. I mean, that is more of a genetic piece to it. Or there may be. This is more hormonal, right? Like, if you really change your diet, change your lifestyle, you're not going to have those strong urges to use sugar again, correct?
Well, it's an interesting thing that you just bring that up, because I actually feel that I do think that's the similar dependency. Mm-hmm. But the thing about alcohol is that if you're an alcoholic and you're trying to recover from that, you stay out of bars, stay away from friends that are doing that, keep it out of your house. You can completely eliminate alcohol from your life. The problem with sugar and food addiction is that we need food to live. And like I said, it's a necessity. It's part of so many aspects of our lives. We can't just go without food. So we're constantly faced with the decision of, what should I eat? Where am I going to find this? And then we have this surplus of junk food everywhere we turn in the grocery stores. I mean, literally, it's like egging us on when we're checking out. Mm-hmm. There's advertisements. And so I do actually think it's just as hard, if not harder.
Switching gears a little bit to you now, this is probably the most common question you get. So what does your diet look like, Laura?
Yeah, great question. So I eat a lot of vegetables, but I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan. I eat, you know, I like fish, I like meat. I like, you know, all my healthy fats, avocados, nuts and seeds. I think I most closely associate with the vegan diet. Have you heard of that before?
I have not, no.
So it's kind of a mix between paleo and vegan. Mm-hmm. A lot of the diets have common principles, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think what I do is it's a pretty good mix between the paleo and the vegan. I don't overdo the meat, but I definitely play up the vegetables. And, you know, occasionally some things will slip in there for me, like some cheese or something of that sort. But for the most part, I keep it pretty clean and whole.
What is your favorite healthy carb and why?
I love sweet potatoes.
I knew you were going to say that.
How'd you know?
I don't know. I do too. They're good.
I just like a nice like steak with sweet potato fries. Oh my gosh. My favorite. Or purple potatoes. Have you read purple?
I have. Yes. Those are good too.
Those are good. And so beautiful, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about, so I got a couple patients on the carnivore diet. What's your take on that? They're doing really well. Like it totally reversed his autoimmune stuff, inflammation, joint pain. Do you know much about that? Carnivore. So all meat.
That's fascinating. I actually don't, I have to be honest. I've never come across anyone who's come to me that has done that.
It's newer, I believe. It's relatively newer.
No plants?
No, he's not doing any plants and he's in really good shape. He looks good and he feels really good. So I don't know.
You know, I think with that question is like, is also the question of how long is this person ideally going to be doing this diet for, you know? Mm-hmm. So is it good or is it bad? I think that also depends on, you know, what the time length of that is going to be.
I don't know much about the carnivore diet, but I think they're big on anti-nutrients. So they're saying that a lot of plants have anti-nutrients. Legumes, etc., that might irritate the gut and just cause more inflammation. So I don't know. I got to do some more research as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that one up.
What about intermittent fasting? Are you an advocate of that?
Yeah, you know I am. I practice this in my personal life. I do sometimes. Typically, I try to get my clients on some kind of an eating window. And that looks different for everyone. Sometimes that evolves over time. But, you know, I think the thing about the intermittent fasting is there's a lot of misconceptions about it. I think what the reason why it's beneficial is because we're living in a time where people are constantly eating. I mean, you wake up at 6 a.m., you eat, and then you eat you eat all the way till you go to bed. So that's definitely not healthy for the body. And there's a lot of benefits to intermittent fasting. I know you did a podcast on that as well. But I think shortening the window of time can be beneficial for a number of reasons. So yeah, I'm a fan.
It saves you a lot of time. You skip a meal.
Yeah.
One less meal to prepare. Less dishes.
Yeah, nobody knows what to eat for breakfast anyway. So.
I know, right? So my takeaways today, let me just kind of summarize what I took away. Carbohydrates are not the devil. They're actually very important for all of us, some more than others, depending on your lifestyle, what you do. I mean, if you're working out intensely, you're going to need more glucose to your muscles and your brain. There's good carbs and bad carbs, though. We definitely need to be educated on that and know what is a good, healthy carb, what is not. And some people are going to have a harder time overcoming the sugar addiction. Some people are in denial, maybe. Some people aren't addicted to sugar and just keep doing what you're doing. But I think if you are, you need help and you need to find someone like yourself, an accountability partner to one, educate you and set up a plan to get healthier.
Absolutely. I agree.
So tell us more about your business, Laura, and who you typically work with.
So I truly work with a pretty wide range of individuals, even though I think basically anyone could benefit from what I do. I mainly work with people who are looking to lose weight, who are struggling to lose weight and have been for a long time, who have, you know, struggle with low energy and just don't know what to eat. And I help them by getting them set up on a customized nutrition program, And I help them understand what foods are best for their body and their lifestyle. And I, you know, I support them through the process of learning and executing a nutrition plan, because what I've found with changing, you know, changing what you eat and starting nutrition programs is that actually a lot of my clients come to me and say, Laura, I know what to eat. I just can't do it. You know, I know I shouldn't be doing this, and I know I should be doing this, but I just can't do it, and I need support. And so a lot of what I do is, you know, my clients sometimes call me their food therapist, is helping people work through these, the emotional barriers that come when you try to eat healthy. It's tough.
Are you taking new clients right now?
Yes.
Okay. So how can listeners connect with you online and or make an appointment?
So, listeners can find me on Facebook and Instagram. My, my handle, I guess you could say is, I believe it's Laura, just my name, Laura Catalino.
That's L-O-R-A, right?
Yep. L-O-R-A Catalino. Look me up on Facebook, Instagram, my website. If you go to my website, which is just lauragrace.com, you can actually submit a contact form and I will reach out to you. So that's probably the easiest way. And if, you know, if someone's interested and feels like they can associate with sugar addiction or struggling with food, just, you know, sending me a direct message or anything, any way, and we can hop on the phone and chat about it.
So you've been in business for a couple of years now. Are you starting to niche down? I know that you said really anyone can be dealing with sugar addiction, but who do you really enjoy working with? If you had to pick one, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Or do you not have that now? That's okay if you don't. I'm just curious if you have a niche or target market.
Yeah. You know, I really don't right now. I think, more so than a person, I think it's these common feelings that I have a niche with, you know. It's these, I've tried dieting for 40 years. I'm an emotional eater. I feel lost. I feel hopeless. Those are the people that I find myself most closely working with, because it's a true battle. So that, if I could say, it's more of a feeling and a struggle that I have a niche with rather than a particular person.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, guys, I've sent a few patients to Laura. She's a phenomenal resource for the Rochester community. She's younger. She's newer to the field. She's very passionate. She's very genuine and she's very intelligent too. She definitely knows her stuff. So thank you for that, Laura.
Thanks, Matt.
Final question. You ready?
I'm ready.
If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where are you taking them?
That's a good question. You know what? I think I would probably take them to Cedar Mediterranean Restaurant for some food. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Pegan food.
Yeah. Take them to get some pegan food.
Nice.
And then I'd probably maybe take them to Cobbs Hill or something like that.
A little food, a little activity. I like it.
Little walk. Get the blood sugar down.
What was the name of that restaurant?
Cedar.
I've never been
Mediterranean.
There.
You've never been. Oh, you got
to
go.
I've been to Aladdin's Olives. Who else? Where is it? Is it in the city?
It's on Monroe Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta check them out. Just look them up on Yelp. I mean, their plates are the best I've ever had.
Maybe tonight for dinner. I like that. Cedar's. Yeah, cool.
You should.
Well, Laura, thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it. And thanks for doing the community. Again, listeners, if you have any questions, you can reach out to her directly, Instagram, Facebook, or go on her website. Like she said, she has a contact form and she'll get in touch. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value and will share this with family and friends to spread the wealth of knowledge that Laura gave us today. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me, go to my website, DriscollChiropracticNY.com, read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@DriscollChiropracticNY.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.